Hey everyone, and welcome to the Homicide Homegirls podcast, a true crime podcast examining the true crime cases that fascinate and intrigue us. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Arielle.
Thanks for joining us.
We can't wait to share the details of this wild episode with you.
Hey listeners.
Hey guys.
Welcome back to the best day of the week, episode Wednesday.
Yay!
So I know the last time we checked in on Facebook, I believe it was, we were kind of asking for prayers and good vibes because of Hurricane Laura. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, our area was spared from the bad weather. We got a little bit, but not too much. But west of us was tremendously damaged from the bad weather. And they are in the process of rebuilding. So
Our thoughts are
Our thoughts and prayers are with them, and just we ask that you guys keep them in your thoughts and prayers too. They have gone through a devastating week and a half ish.
And didn't was it a fireman that said that was up there recently?
Oh yeah, some of the guys from my department went out there. There was four of them that went.
Yeah, and you showed me the videos, and it's like horrendous. And my old coach in high school just went. And like to bring food and stuff this weekend, and he's like, "You've seen the pictures, but he's like, until you see it in person, you don't like understand like the devastation." Right. So, definitely, you know, keep our counterparts and you know our fellow Louisianians
send good vibes and stuff.
Yeah. If you're not religious, send good vibes. If you are religious, please pray for them.
Right.
If you can donate, you know.
Right.
I'm sure there are tons of
outlets
are really good. Like fundraisers and stuff. Okay, so before we get into the episode, I don't think we've ever really done this before, but I got an email that we got a new review, and I was like, "Oh, great!" Not great. It was a 3-star review, which I guess is better than a 1-star. But the title was hard to listen to, and it was from PW from GR. Don't know what the heck that means, but the review said the audio is weird, the music in the back is unnecessary and annoying, and the gasps and overreactions of the hosts are distracting. I have some thoughts. This is like, okay, if our audio is weird, please tell us, like, message us. Be specific. Like, what is wrong with our audio?
We can take constructive criticism pretty well. I find that we have done a few things to improve our audio. We spent $200 on a mic.
I was about to say, we spent a ton of money on this goddamn microphone, so
and
what the fuck?
Maybe the room acoustics are a little off, but, you know, the unnecessary music was to try and distract you from the room noise. So
because we've gotten a bad review about that, so, like,
Which is it? But, you know, whatever. Just
It's fine. If you don't like us, that's fine.
You can hide behind your keyboard, you little angry man or woman.
Keyboard warriors. Yes. That's, like, my favorite.
So.
But, yeah. Thanks to all the people who leave us positive reviews and to cleanse my soul from that negativity.
Let me cleanse mine.
But, anyway. To cleanse my soul from that negativity, I'm going to read a positive review that we got from Steffi G 2020. The title was "I'm a new fan," and she said, "I'm a new listener, and on the second podcast I listened to you cover a Wyoming case. I love it. Great info, fun delivery, and entertaining to listen to. Come visit us in Wyoming sometime. We really do have people here, and it's a beautiful place to be."
Sorry about the shade I threw to you.
Yeah,
Wyoming.
I'm pretty sure I did too, but well, thank you. Like, we love reviews like that.
And this is somebody we don't know.
Right. Like, in Wyoming. I don't know anybody in Wyoming.
Like, you love us. You really love us.
Like, the mask.
Yes.
With the
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey and the mask. But anyway, definitely leave us a review. And honestly, we can take constructive criticism. But
just don't be an asshole.
Like, let us know specifically what's wrong, because we want to fix it.
Yeah, we don't want you to hate us, unless that's just what you deeply desire to do, then I can't change your mind. But like,
and
there's always room for improvement no matter what, and we always look for room for improvement.
Right.
You know, we don't have a studio. We work. We have real jobs. This is not what we do.
24/7. We are recording this in my bedroom, in my bed. Like, this is not
like a couple of girl teenagers having a sleepover.
Right.
Right. So, you know, yeah, one day we do want to do something, have a better recording setting.
Right.
But
now is not that time. And, like, the gasps and overreactions are distracting. Okay, I don't know if y'all know this, but, like, those are 100% genuine.
Yes, they're authentic. Ariel doesn't know anything about, and I know what case they're talking about because we've only had one case with background music. Go F yourself. We figured it out. Anyways, yeah, Ariel doesn't know anything about the cases I research, and although she's a really big oversharer, yes. Sharer, so I have to stop. I was like, Ariel, but I don't know if you don't shut the F up. I don't want to know, and I really have to, like, make her step back. Like, okay,
also, fine. I do know a lot more true crime cases than you do, so some of them that you do I know a little bit about, but not, like, a ton. But no, like, and their whole reason we had background music on Joshua Woodruff was because, like you said, to try to distract from the room noise and, like, because this room has nothing hanging on the walls. Like, it's not.
Right. They just renovated here, so.
Right.
They have freshly painted walls and they don't want any holes in them. But.
Exactly.
Nevertheless, if you want to be a hater, just be a hater. But just know that we are open to suggestions and constructive criticism, and we look forward to being better.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, thank you for leaving us 3 stars and not 1, because, you know, could have been worse. But on a more positive note, our episode from 2 weeks ago was on the mysterious death of Ralph Bell.
Episode 35.
Yes. And by mysterious, I mean bullshit, because he did not commit suicide. But anyway, based on, like, our episode and just the kind of
publicity
and coverage that it got, an attorney has actually offered to assist Ralph's family in getting any police records or police reports that the family may not have, like the autopsy, for one.
Photos and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, completely pro bono. The attorney is going to, like, you know, help them. So we're really, really excited about that. And
that's great news.
Yeah. And we'll definitely keep you guys updated if anything comes of that. Yeah, sorry for this whole, like, rambling, incoherent.
I'm not sorry.
I know we generally don't do this, but I don't know. I literally got that email right before I hit record, and it just completely rubbed me the wrong way.
And she got her truly tonight, so she was feeling some type of way. But before we jump into today's episode, here's a quick message from this week's sponsor. So today, I want to talk about the case of Cheyenne Cluse, a 22-year-old white female that lived in Downers Grove, Illinois.
Actually, I've never heard of this one.
And
first time in Illinois.
Finally, I'm out of Louisiana.
Yeah, trying to,
probably,
like,
not for long, knowing me.
Yeah. We're trying to, like, get out of Louisiana, Florida, you know.
I get so many recommendations for Louisiana, though. But anyways, Downers Grove is a village in DuPage County and is a southwestern suburb of Chicago in the I-55 corridor, which, fun fact, I-55 begins
here
in my hometown.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Yeah, it runs through
mile Hammond. One is in La Place, Louisiana.
Holla!
So Downers Grove has a population of approximately 49,700, which is weird because when I hear village, I think of, like, Beauty and the Beast.
Like 200 people?
Yes.
Singing about
bread.
How fucking weird you are?
Bread.
Singing about bread.
Yeah.
I need 6 eggs.
Oh my god, stop. So, Downers Grove is considered a safe place to call home with a violent crime rate of 60, and the chance of being involved in a property crime is 1.2%.
Are you about to tell me what the hell a crime rate of 60 means?
Yeah, because I was like,
what the...
Is that, like, a percentage? So
WTF, mate.
Good old Google says that a crime rate describes the number of crimes reported to law enforcement agencies per 100,000 total population.
Oh.
A crime rate is calculated by dividing the number of reported crimes by the total population. The result is multiplied by 100,000.
So it's, like, per capita?
Ish,
I guess. Yeah.
So
ish.
It's super low at 60.
Oh, okay.
I would think.
Yeah,
whatever.
But they don't even have 100,000 people.
Exactly.
Okay, anyway.
So, on November 27th of 2017, Cheyenne Cluse was last seen leaving her residence.
Mm-hmm.
She left with a few articles of clothing and her laptop, and nothing seemed out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
A few days pass, and Cheyenne never returns home.
Ooh.
This is when her father reports her missing a few days later. I'm going to note that she didn't own a car.
Okay.
I don't think she had very, like, a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be important.
Yeah. So it's not like she could just pick up and start a new life somewhere.
And she couldn't survive for very long.
Right. Because, like, typically if you're going to start a new life somewhere, you need money. Like, you know, you need resources, you need a car.
And I'm going to get to that
in a second. Well, I guess technically you don't have to have a car.
But you need money for transportation.
Precisely.
So, on November 27th, Cheyenne went to stay at her friend's house in Chicago, which is when she left her home.
Mm-hmm.
That friend was 38-year-old Brian Biddle.
Pause. How old was she?
22.
What? Okay.
I addressed that.
Okay, cool.
So, according to TrueCrimeDaily.com...
Pause. I read that as True Crime Daddy, and I'm dead.
I hate you so much. Good God, y'all. She's drinking Trulies. So according to TrueCrimeDaily.com, Brian sent an Uber to pick up Cheyenne.
Uber was like a thing in 2017?
Yeah.
How long has Uber been around?
Drove for Uber in 17.
Oh, I'm shame.
So he paid for the Uber to pick her up and bring her to his house.
Mm-hmm.
Around 9:18 a.m., Brian posted a few pictures to Cheyenne's Facebook wall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to photo collage them and post them, but they weren't anything suspicious. Mm-hmm. They're kind of random. And I'll pull them up real quick.
Were they like the Snapchat filter ones?
There was one with a Snapchat. I only have three on here. I have to find the third one, but I've seen the third one. This was posted to her wall.
She's
this,
so pretty.
There was two cat pictures.
It's a kitty!
That one. This one.
Oh.
This one.
A mug, this mean wouldn't make it through any filter?
It's another picture of a cat.
And then like a mug, like a face, this mean.
Yeah,
that like is a beautiful mug. Cat.
And then there was a fourth picture of her with a pumpkin, like, because it was fall.
Is that his cat?
I don't know. I'm assuming.
That's a beautiful cat.
So, I'll photo collage them and post them. They're not really anything significant, but they're freaking weird. And it's in 2017, I feel like we didn't really post random pictures of other people's walls unless it was a meme.
Right.
Or if you post, if I was wondering that, a like, picture of, on my own and then tagged you.
That's what I was saying. Like you would tag people like that.
Yeah.
That is weird.
So according to certain reports, Cheyenne was still at Brian's house on December 1st and into the 2nd. However, those dates have, been contradicted by other reports.
Hmm.
And while at Brian's house, they spent all day and night drinking and partying, and according to Brian...
Partying? He's 38 years old.
Time out.
What the hell is he doing with his life?
I'll get there. He was a low life.
Clearly.
Still, probably.
Not judging, but I'm judging.
So, according to Brian, they slept for over 18 hours after partying.
Jesus Christ.
And when Brian woke up, she was gone.
Oh, God. I was about to say, where do I sign up to sleep for 18 hours?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
I'm exhausted. Like, I need a nap. But, oh my God, he woke up and she was gone? That's... Okay. I mean, a likely story, but okay.
I find that it's a weak alibi.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also never done drugs. So, after a binge,
They were doing drugs?
They were partying and drinking, but yes.
Oh, and, like, partying like
That's drugs. Why he's 38 years old having a house party with two people. Like, yes.
Like, him and her, two people?
Yes. And
party.
And that's why, I guess that is a likely story for like the sleeping for 18 hours. But that's almost a day.
Yeah, if you're like sleeping off.
I don't think I've ever slept 18 hours being like really ill.
Right. I don't know if I've ever slept that long.
Like on and off, but not a solid 18 hours. So in the early hours of November 29th, around 2 a.m., Chad Chanapai, who was a friend of Cheyenne's, received some pretty desperate texts and calls from Cheyenne.
So this was, what, 2 days?
Roughly,
yeah. Roughly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I guess a day and a half if it's, like, 2 a.m.
Well, she had been there for 2 days
point.
Okay. Well, almost, because it was 2 a.m. And she was around 9-something. Those calls and texts were pleas from Cheyenne asking Chad to come pick her up. But Chad didn't see them right away. He saw them about 20 minutes later. And when he tried reaching her back, she never answered.
Oh, wow.
After that, no one heard from her ever again. Hmm. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess electronically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
After Cheyenne tried reaching Brian back, there was a post shared from her Facebook around 9:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Now, at 2 a.m., she called and texted Chad.
So, 7.5 hours.
Yes. Later. And seemed completely normal.
Hmm.
She just shared somebody else's post on Facebook at 9:30, mm-hmm. and then again at 9:35. She tagged Brian in a post, which the post she tagged him in was a YouTube video. And I tried to watch it. The YouTube video is about 15 and a half minutes, and it's a short film.
Mm-hmm.
And
pause. Is that what you started playing earlier? And I was like, what in the hell?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Are you watching?
Yeah, it was like a eerie door creaking sound. Was that right? Was that what it was?
Yeah. I was like, I turned around, and I was like, what the fudge?
Yeah, it was weird. But so I watched it for a few minutes and literally was like, what the fuck? The look of confusion I had on my face is probably enough to get Botox.
Oh, God.
I couldn't pronounce the title of the short film, but I guess I can link it in the source links.
If anybody's so inclined, it's going to be the YouTube link.
But I'm going to quote the description.
Okay, I'm not even going to read this. I'm just going to listen.
Okay.
Because I read the first two words and I was like, no, I need to listen to you say this.
Quote, big dreams, big blunts, big rims, and big guns. It's time to get gangsta gangsta. Ninja and Yolandi are wheelchair-bound lovers and real gangsters. They live in the outskirts of civilization. They shoot guns for fun, smoke massive joints, and sleep in the woods. They don't have any bling to show for their gangsta cred, but the world deserves to know who they are. They are tramps, and their wheels are starting to fall off. Ninja becomes despondent over their vagabond existence, but Yolandi won't let him give up. What ensues is straight-up gangsta mayhem, the realest of the real, true gangsta shit. End quote.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. What the fuck did I just listen to?
And when they say mega blondes, it's for real. It looks like they're smoking sage. Like...
It went through my nose. I hate you. It looks like smoking sage.
I swear. Like, so I don't know what made her post, like, tag him in this, but it was, like, really fucking off the wall.
I'm sorry. What the hell is happening right now?
So, if you feel so inclined to go watch it.
I do.
I watched about 3 minutes, maybe.
Wait, is that what you were watching when I was like, is this in the language? Like, what? Is there, like, captions? Like,
they sound like they're Asian from mm-hmm. the accents, but they are not.
Oh. Is it, like, people or is it, like, a cartoon?
No, it's real people. And they're in wheelchairs. And they live in the woods.
Are they? I wonder if those actors are, like, really wheelchair-bound or if they're playing wheelchair-bound actors.
I don't know. I'm curious. But they're real gangsta gangsters.
Real gangster shit. I'm done.
So.
What the fudge?
So either one, Cheyenne's messages to Chad weren't urgent.
Right.
And she just made them seem that way. Mm-hmm. And she was fine. Or.
Well, if they were doing drugs, it could have been like a paranoid, like.
True. That's a good point. Like, that's not something I read online. Because 7 hours later, she was fine.
Well, depending on what kind of drugs she was doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will say the first time I ever, like, hit, like, a vape and, like, you know, smoked marijuana, I was extremely paranoid.
I've never smoked marijuana.
Well.
I'm too chicken shit, I swear to you.
Yeah, this was years ago. I was, like, 22, the first time I ever smoked marijuana. I was, like, I was, like, detested, like. Just say no. Like,
oh, I'm so
don't do
I'm
drugs.
Super curious. Like, I'm too chicken.
No, like, I swear to God, I thought, like, somebody was coming and get me. And then I was, like, laying on the couch and, like, hugging a pillow. Like, I was, like, if I let go of the pillow, I was going to fall off a cliff. Like, it was insane. And then I laid on the ground and talked to the cat for 3 hours.
0 out of 5 stars?
0. I don't know. It wasn't horrible.
Okay, then.
I'll tell you who I was with later.
I think I know, actually.
Yeah, I think you do know, but.
So either that or someone was posting from her page to make it seem like everything was normal. And because she was posting on Facebook after those eerie calls to Chad.
And there have been like a ton of cases where people will like post on people's social media or like they'll like murder somebody or something bad. Well, not necessarily. I guess it's not always like they murder them or like an accident happens, but like if you're doing drugs, like, and an accident happens, like, somebody accidentally ODs, you're not always going to want to call the cops, because then you might get in trouble, you know? So, like, maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
Right.
But, like, and then he's using her phone, like, to post, and, but that's, like, happened a lot.
And I want to say that, like, she was known for posting selfies, posting memes. She was always on social media.
Okay. Oh, same. Not, I don't always post selfies, but I share stuff. Almost daily. I'm a sharing
fool.
Same.
And also, you will never predict me. Same. By my post. You might think, oh my God, Amanda is going through a divorce. Yeah, newsflash, I'm not even married.
I don't have a husband.
So, I found this bit of information. I'm not sure the validity of it, but I wanted to include it. I feel like that's not the only time I'm going to say that in this episode, but...
This case is bonkers.
So, on December 1st, authorities learned that Cheyenne traveled to Chicago, but she was already in Chicago. Mm. And she was seen in the 2100 block of North Kilburn in the Hermosa neighborhood, which is where Brian lives. Okay. He lived in the 2100 block of North Kilburn. And does this mean she was at Brian's for an additional 3 nights after her desperate calls?
So, like... They saw her in that
I don't think area did.
On the first. Or somebody reported seeing her in that area on the first?
Right, and the second. Or first or second is what it said. But her pleas were on the 29th.
See, that's the thing, though, about witness testimony. It is, like, historically proven to be inaccurate.
Yeah.
99% of the time.
They could have had their days, you know,
screwed up. But now, I won't, because I remember, like,
girl, I will remember... Okay, what was I doing when I saw that person? Oh, I remember texting Arielle, and I remember the stupidest shit. I'm
like, oh no, same.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I was texting her about like meal prep. So let me go back and see.
Exactly.
Oh, I texted her on August 12th. That's the day I dissect the shit out of everything.
We are simpatico.
Yes.
You are my soulmate.
So on December 11th of 2017, which was 12 days after the text to Chad. A call was placed to 911 from Cheyenne's cell phone. Yes.
What?
It was a 911 hang-up call, so the caller never spoke to the operator. However, the police were able to trace the call back to Mallard Lake Forest Preserve, which is 20 minutes from Brian's house and 18 miles from Cheyenne's house.
So is that like
house.
A midpoint?
It's not a midpoint, because I even looked it up on Google Maps, and it's really weird. I think I took...
So, like, did they try to call her back? Like, you can probably speak to that more, like...
I would call back, but no, this is what I wanted to show you. I'm going to post this map. This is Downers Grove. This is the preserve. This is where Brian's area. This is Chicago.
So, Downers Grove is where she lives? Or lives?
Yes, that's where her dad was. So, this said it was 18 miles, and this said it was 20 minutes. It doesn't really look like that, but I'm no geo nerd, so...
Yeah, I'm terrible at geography, so...
That's what they say happened, and that's what they say happened.
The police, yeah.
So, at 7:04 on December 11th, Chad posts on Cheyenne's Facebook wall, and he says...
Wait, so Chad is the friend that she contacted?
Yes.
Not the friend she was with.
Brian is who she was staying with.
Were they dating? Were they friends?
I'm gonna get there.
Okay.
Please, if anyone... This is what Chad said. Quote, please, if anyone has any whereabouts on where she is, please reply back to this post. End quote. And he posted that on her wall. So he didn't necessarily name her, but it was on her wall. You know, like...
Yeah.
So
I feel like it's implied. Like,
yes, that it's her.
Yeah.
So, according to the DuPage County Sheriff's Office, on December 12th, Cheyenne's father reported her missing. However... There were other reports stating that he reported her missing just a few days after she went missing, around the 1st. So, that's when they're claiming he did, but earlier in my episode I said
yeah,
he did it whenever You know, she didn't come home a few days.
Well, I mean, it could have been one of those situations where, oh, she's an adult. Like,
yep, and they didn't take it seriously.
Yeah, she's an adult. She can leave if she wants to. And that is, like, complete bullshit.
And they might have not taken it seriously until they got her cell phone ping.
Right.
On the 11th, sorry, which like, is the day before.
I'm sorry, if I come into the police office, police station, and I tell you...
I will burn that bitch down if y'all don't listen to me.
If I tell you, like, my grown daughter, I don't care if she's 22.
I went for the fire department. I'm threatening to burn something down.
That's not a good look. No, you probably should not do that. But like, if I come in there and I tell you my daughter didn't come home, she still lives with me. She's 22. Yeah, she's an adult, but she still lives with me, and it's not like her to not come home.
She doesn't have a car.
And she doesn't have a vehicle. Like,
she doesn't have money.
Right. Like, and you tell me I can't report her missing. I'm gonna go to jail because I'm gonna beat the crap out of somebody.
I swear to God, if I ever had a mugshot, I'm gonna look cute as
F. I swear for God.
So, that was the only lead that authorities ever received regarding her disappearance was that phone call.
Hmm.
And so they changed it.
The 911 call?
Yes, on the 11th of December.
Hmm.
And on December 22nd, authorities searched that area.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they wait that long?
I don't know.
The fuck?
Also, on March 17th, so 3 months later.
Hmm. Oh, St. Patrick's Day.
A second search of the Mallard Lake Forest Preserve was conducted with over 100 personnel, 5 canine Jeez. Units searching 86 acres.
But if you're waiting that long, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think anything turned up the first time, but Gia Hoffman, who was the Missing Person Awareness Network president, she said it was worth another search, so I think that's why they did the second search.
Mm.
And she stated that they searched all 86 acres inch by inch.
Hmm.
Like, they turned over every stick, every leaf, yeah. Like...
And I've watched, like, videos where they rake their foot, mm-hmm. like, across different areas. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, as they're walking, like, to try to make sure if they, you know, stumble across anything.
Before they actually step on it.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like...
They're kind of, like, combing through it.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, I couldn't...
Rake, comb, same thing.
Yeah.
During both of those searches, a few articles of evidence were collected, but they were never linked back to anyone, whether it be Cheyenne or somebody else.
Hmm.
Hoffman also believes, Gia Hoffman, who was that president of the Missing Person Awareness Network,
uh-huh.
She also believes someone knows something, mm-hmm. they're just not coming forward.
Always.
She also believes Brian Biddle hasn't 100% come forward.
Oh, absolutely.
So since he was the last person she was known to be with, but he claimed to be sleeping for almost an entire day.
Mm-hmm. That whatever drug you taken, that was a hell of a drug because your ass was asleep that long.
Like, where are your responsibilities at 38 years old?
That's what I asked you earlier. What the hell is he doing with his life at 38 that he can just party and do drugs and drink and, like, not have anything to
worry about?
Like, I'm 30 and I have kids, I have a husband, like, I have a job. Quit. Like, I can't do that kind of stuff.
Can I forfeit?
Like, I wanna like not have anything to do that I can just sleep for that long. Like, what the hell?
So according to Detective Jeff Leonard with the DuPage County Sheriff's Office, mm-hmm. Brian Biddle is not a suspect or a person of interest. He has been cooperating and is considered a valuable witness.
Who he knows that works there?
Good point. He allowed authorities to search his home, computer, phone, and other personal devices.
I mean, maybe I'm just too harshly judging this poor guy, you know?
I'm not.
Okay.
In May of 2018, Crime Watch Daily tried reaching out to Brian Biddle via phone, Facebook, even went to his residence in Chicago. Mm. No contact was ever made with Brian. Turns out he was in custody in Cook County Jail for possession of narcotics and possession of a firearm unrelated to Cheyenne's disappearance.
Wait, is this the picture you said earlier that he was arrested wearing a buggy shirt?
Yeah, he's trash.
He gives buggies a bad name.
So, looking back on that time in Cheyenne's life, she was going through a rough patch.
Mm-hmm.
On January 10th of 2016, she posted on Facebook saying... actually, I think it was 2017, not 2016. I would do anything to hear your voice again, Mom. I love you so much. Please don't give up on us. Your daughters, husbands, sisters, brothers, grandchildren. You are loved by everyone, Mom. You're my best friend. Always have been and always will be. I don't pray much until lately. I was told the most beautiful soul is leaving us soon, but was told too soon. I'm asking for all the help as possible. End quote.
Is your mom dead?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, I did. So 3 days later, Cheyenne's mother passed away from liver failure.
No.
And shortly after that, her dog also passed away.
Oh,
and I think she had her dog for maybe like 13 years. It was a long time. Or maybe 8. I don't remember.
God.
But both of these situations cause Cheyenne to suffer from depression?
Mm. I mean, easily. I feel like easily.
So on one of Cheyenne's Facebook posts, she posted on January 13, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was right. The 2016 was when she...
Yeah.
No, she died in 2016. So yeah, a year later.
Yeah.
She expressed herself saying, quote, I don't usually do things like this, but today is different. It's been a year and it's safe to say I think about you every day. I might not hope or even pray. I just love and miss you in my own special way. Every time I hear your name, I can't help but to feel some type of way, yet our hearts are broken just the same. I miss our adventures together. I miss our funny car rides or just chilling at home watching movies in bed. And it's crazy because all our favorite movies have been playing all day and night.
Mm.
Miss just playing with our nephew every morning, taking the shirt off her back for anyone, even the bad times. I'd do anything just to get you back home. There are not many words I could say to describe just how important my mother was to everyone and what a powerful influence she influences to be. I love you forever, my reason for living. And then she had 726 of 58 to 113 of 16. Rest easy, angel. End quote.
Mm.
Yeah, I had to kind of speed read that because it wasn't correct grammar and I didn't want to stumble on it.
Right. That's sad. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, I still have my mom.
And from what I read, her mom slowly died. So she...
Well, liver failure is like...
She witnessed her mom slowly die from liver failure.
Mm-hmm. I don't...
So with Cheyenne going through some rough times, she was also hanging around with a questionable crowd.
Hmm.
This was around the time she disappeared. And also a few months prior to her disappearance... She was arrested with a 31-year-old, Gabe Sedekase, I think is how you say his last name. Don't come for me.
Mm-hmm.
She was charged with obstructing identification and illegal transport of alcohol.
Mm. Obstructing identification of what?
Stand by. I'm coming with that. Gabe was charged with possession of a controlled substance, which, fun fact, in Louisiana, if you lie about your identity, you're charged with resisting an officer. So don't do that shit.
Oh, like if they ask, let me see some identification, and you tell them, like, I don't have any, or you lie about what your name actually is?
Picture
you mean
this.
You mean the shit that Ted Bundy did when he was in Florida?
I'm not talking about him. So traffic stop. Let me see your ID. I don't have my ID. Okay, what's your name? My name is Amanda Collins. I'm a white female, and my birthday is 12/8/92. That is not my
Jesus
birthday.
Christ.
That's not my birthday. But I'm lying. Well...
Well, they can pull it up in the system and clearly see that nobody under that name exists.
Well, there might be somebody that name, but they will pull up people with different, like, it might come up Amanda, or they're not going to, like, I really lied about my date of birth.
Yeah.
They might, my birthday's 7/18/90, they might say, they might say 7/18/94.
Right.
And when you search it, it's going to pull up those results, you know?
If I ever get arrested, I'm going to tell them I'm you.
Yeah, good luck. You could never be me. So, yeah, don't do that shit. It is resisting an officer.
So, it's like resisting arrest?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's not really arrest. It's the code is 108, which 108 is resisting an officer.
But there's
flight with force or violence or just regular or...
So, there's, like, levels to
There's
to
different,
it?
Like, sections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like section A, section... Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, now I'm going to jump into theories.
I feel like there could be, like, a ton of them.
Yes, and I got the first one coming at you, and you probably don't expect it. So, her friend Chad,
mm-hmm.
whom she texted to come pick her up that day, mentioned in a Facebook comment...
Has her body ever been found?
No.
No, she's just, like...
Missing.
Off the face of the planet.
Yes,
like missing.
Her phone. I don't know about her laptop. I don't know if that was...
because she had her laptop.
Yeah.
Or, like, her clothing. Like, I feel like clothing I'll get to would that be a little easier bit. To get rid of. But,
I'm going to touch on that in a second. So, our friend Chad, who she texted that day, he mentioned in a Facebook comment that he heard some talk about gangs having new recruits kidnap young girls as initiations and forcing them into sex trafficking rings.
I mean, that's
very likely. I don't know the validity of it, but right. I wanted to include it.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, necessarily, like, she was like a victim of that, but that sounds like
Chicago's a
like
busy area
definitely
too.
Definitely happened, right? So is New Orleans. Like, New Orleans is like a hub for sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, but I read
it's
that
all the big cities
recently. And like,
So of course we're all suspicious of Brian Biddle, right?
That's like the understatement of the century.
So I mean, after all, he was the last person to see her. They had been drinking and partying all night. And then he went to sleep for 18 hours afterwards. Right. I don't think I've ever slept that long. No. But I've also never done drugs, so there's that.
Oh, yeah.
And according to witnesses, he is a known drug addict. What if during their quote-unquote partying, they were doing drugs and went too far?
Like I said earlier, like, she accidentally overdosed, and you don't want to call the cops because you're in possession of a controlled substance. And you might go down for it.
Yeah. And what if something happened to her and he freaked out?
Right.
After Cheyenne's disappearance, he was arrested for being in possession of narcotics and a firearm.
Is he out now? Is he out now? Is that like a minor?
No, I'll get to that.
Okay.
I don't know if he's out, but that's not a minor. Sources online say they were romantically involved, but I also found where it said he commented saying he had women's clothing all around his house, making it seem like he always had different women around. So that's where the clothes come in. So I'm not too concerned about the clothes because he kind of just said, I didn't know they were her clothes. I kind of just have like a pile of like random, like they always leave shit behind. Yeah, I know. He's not cute either. And let's not forget Cheyenne and Brian were 16 years apart.
Yeah.
I know age is just a number, but at 22 years old, I can tell you wholeheartedly, I wouldn't have been interested in a 38-year-old. Maybe now. A little different times.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. Like, that's like a 16-year-old being interested in a newborn. When you think about it in
the other way,
that's like gross.
Oh, and you want to know what else I found?
Oh, God.
At age 17, Brian Biddle robbed a bank.
What?
According to the Chicago Tribune, he handed the bank teller a note stating that he had a gun and then fled the scene when the teller handed him $1,000.
I'm sorry. You're a sorry bank robber if you only got away with $1,000.
Oh, he didn't get away with it. Oh. Authorities located him inside of an office building, hiding behind a desk.
What?
He was arrested and charged with felony aggravated robbery. And I know in Louisiana, you don't actually have to be in possession of a gun to be charged with any armed or aggravated charge. What? You just have to portray that you have a gun.
Oh. You mean like the guy that robbed the...
Circle K with Circle a Nintendo K with controller? Yes.
Yeah, with a Duck Hunt gun? Or was it... No, it was an Xbox controller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he had it in his pocket, and he never showed it.
Right.
So, the
so
clerk...
If you had your hand in your pocket, or, like, robbed him with, like, a Butterfinger, like, you...
Yeah.
You don't know.
Nope. So, yes, you get charged with aggravated or armed.
Oh, God.
Depending on what the crime is. So, on the charge list for his February 2018 arrest, those firearm charges, which I was talking about, were related to a felon being in possession of a firearm.
So, he's got a record, because he had robbed a bank.
Yes.
$1,000? Like, dude... And you didn't even get away with it.
His laptop was $1,000.
Exactly.
Like, come on, dude. So, another question I have is, has anyone actually ever seen the text messages Cheyenne sent to Chad?
That's a good question. Like, what if Chad is full of shit?
I believe he is. So, have those actually been verified? So, I went to Cheyenne's Facebook page, and I searched this dude, Chad, his name, in her search on her page.
Right.
And he seemed seriously infatuated with her.
Oh.
I don't know the extent of their friendship, but I haven't read anywhere that they were romantically involved.
Hmm.
And from the outside looking in, it seems to be very one-sided.
So is he like her age? Like,
yes.
Okay.
He always used pet names when referring to her, those typical, you know, names you would use referring to your boyfriend or girlfriend. But he even said in an interview, like, when she texted him at 2 a.m., she's like, babe, can you come get me? So I don't know what...
I don't call my male friend. Well, I don't have male friends, but if I did, I wouldn't be calling them babe. Like,
so, yeah, I don't know, like, if she was just hanging out with Brian because he had the drugs. Mm. If she was in a deep depression. Right. And, like, he was truly... But, like, I tried to... I'm gonna share the link to that search on her page. And you can... It'll pull up everyone in a list. So, like I said, I tried to do the same exact, like, reversed search on Chad's page for anything Cheyenne may have posted.
And she wasn't posted on his
But page. His privacy settings restricted me from doing so. So, like, he didn't have the little button to click search profile. Mm. Hmm. So, what if Chad was jealous that she was hanging out with Brian? And he could have turned that jealousy into anger and acted on it.
Yeah, that's very possible.
And then that other theory about, that I saw floating on the internet was maybe the depression from losing her mother. Mm-hmm. And her dog pushed her into a downward spiral with substance abuse. Mm-hmm. Which is super likely, but yeah. It still doesn't explain her whereabouts. I mean, could it be a possibility that she left and went into the woods where her phone was pinged? Could she have been contemplating suicide while lost on the preserve and subsequently called 911? Mm. But again, that still doesn't explain her whereabouts. Right. She's never been found.
That's weird.
So, Ari, what do you think?
I don't know. This is just like an entire rabbit hole, and I feel like... I don't like the cases where, like, they've never been found. Like,
I know.
These are the ones that bother me. Like, Tiffany Whitten has never been found.
Jennifer Cassie
has never been found. Like, there's a ton of people that have never been found, and that's just, like... How do you...
Like,
just,
I need closure on these
cases. Yeah, like, how do you just disappear off the face of the planet without, like, a trace?
But even if she did go into the woods to contemplate suicide, how the hell did she get there?
Right. Because it was, like, 20 minutes from 20 where minutes she from was last known to
from,
be.
From Brian's, yes. She didn't have money, so she couldn't get an Uber. She didn't have a car.
Part of me wonder... I don't know, kind of... I don't want to, like... speculate, even though I feel like that's kind of what you have to do with these cases, like, because you don't know. With Chicago being like a giant hub for like sex trafficking, what if that, but while Brian was passed out, she decided like, no, I need to get out of here, and she decided to like walk, you know, to, I don't know, catch a bus, train, whatever, or like try to hitchhike, and she was picked up by the wrong person.
But she was seen there 2 days later.
Allegedly. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, it's like... The puzzle pieces don't fit.
No, they don't. I don't know what I think.
I think Chad might have more to do with...
Yeah, because if he for sure was, like, infatuated with her and it was very one-sided, like, that wouldn't be the first time that something like that
has happened. We learned a new word this week, you guys. Incel?
What? Oh, yeah.
So
you explain that.
So basically it's
is people, he an incel?
I mean, he's not attractive.
Oh god.
But they were friends. I don't know.
That's rude.
But okay, so an incel is basically somebody who is constantly rejected by women. Mm-hmm. They consider themselves not sexually attractive, and they tend to get revenge on it.
And, like, they get angry at, like, attractive women. Like, for example, like, that guy, I don't know, I forget what his name was, but you said he, like, attacked a bunch of cheerleaders because he was, like, angry that
they
were...
Here you go. This was March 2nd, so let's go. This was after her disappearance. Spending time with the puppy / love of my life, and there's a photo.
He called her a puppy because she had the Snapchat filter
with the ears.
That's weird.
I see they found you, that the Chad dude was on your page tweaking about you not answering your phone. We all just figured you didn't want to talk to him, LOL. Just came back from space.
And this was 2 months before she went missing.
Mm-hmm. And she responded to that.
Yeah.
She said, just came back from space.
Is that like a euphemism for
being
like,
high?
Yeah.
I think
that's what I would think.
Let's see. This was him saying, please, if anybody has any information about our whereabouts.
Oh, look, March 2nd. Happy birthday, beautiful. It's been like this since I've met you, as my birthday ends on March 1st. Yours begins today, March 2nd. I love you, miss you, wherever you are. I will never forget you. Once again, happy birthday to this beautiful special
Women.
Women.
Click on him. I want to see what he looks like. Oh, okay. Weird.
I feel like he's out of her league because she's drop dead gorgeous.
Or she's out of his league.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like these cases. Where there's like...
On November 7th of 2015, he writes on her wall, mm-hmm. What I love about Cheyenne besides the physical is her personality. She lives life in the moment. It may be wild and crazy, but she's a free spirit, and that's the way God made her. She's beautiful inside and out, and I'm glad I've known her for 5 years so far. Can't wait for future moments to come.
Wait, he's writing this on her wall?
Yes, like, but in a third
person?
Yeah.
Like, he's not talking about her? What if it was one of those, like... challenge things, like if I like post this
to
status,
be honest,
yeah, like a TBH thing, like if you comment, I'll write on your wall what I think about you.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know, I feel like that was popular in 2015. I don't know.
Yeah,
long story short, I don't know what the heck happened, and it's just like really sad, like especially for her family, her poor dad. Like,
yeah,
he lost his wife. They were married mm-hmm. at the time. Does she have any siblings?
Yeah, because in the post that she posted on Facebook, she said, please don't give up on us. Your daughter's husband, sisters, brothers, grandchildren.
Yeah, but still, like, to bury your wife and then, like, your daughter goes missing, that's, like, terrible. Almost 2 years later? 3 years later?
Almost two.
Yeah, almost 2 years later.
So Cheyenne is currently still missing. She's a white female with brown hair and brown eyes. She's 5'5" tall, and at the time of her disappearance, she was 115 pounds. She also has a very distinctive tattoo on her upper arm near her shoulder of an Indian head. And she has a skull tattoo, a pink rose tattoo, and a word in script lettering on the inside of her forearm, as well as a word on her pinky finger. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Cheyenne Cluse, please contact the DuPage County Sheriff's Office at 630-407-2569.
That's the case of the disappearance of Cheyenne Cluse.
Thank you for listening to Homicide Homegirls. If you enjoyed today's episode, head on over to our Facebook page and leave us a review or rate us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. If you want to be the first to know when an episode is released, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Homicide Homegirls, Facebook at facebook.com/Homicide Homegirls Podcast, and Twitter at Homegirls Pod. If you would like to suggest an episode, use the form located on our Facebook page. Once a month, we plan to answer fan-submitted questions in a segment we like to call #AskTheHomeGirls. So be sure to use the form on our Facebook page to submit your questions.